Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude this study in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 8, titled, Mortify Therefore Your Members. This is part 2 of 2.
You should look at your family and friends, and you'll find them trying to act like their children are okay while living in fornication and uncleanness. And they'll just put it right out there without any shame. Listen, I have no shame in my children who are walking in the light. And even if they fail, I have no shame in that. We all fail. But when one of my children are totally living outside of the Lord, I'm not going to mention them. I'm not going to act like what they're doing is okay. Listen, just because it's your kid doesn't make it okay. Just because it's your offspring, if one of my kids came to me and said, I'm gay, I said, well, then you're lost.
Amen. Right.
You need to repent. If one of my kids were shacked up with some woman or some man, whichever the case may be, and they came and wanted to just act like everything's all right, I'm sorry. It ain't going to be happy time at the Millers. I'd tell them, you're wrong. What you're doing is wrong. But that's not what's going on in America today. America today is, well, it's my child, therefore all of you need to cool it. You stop preaching the truth. It's offending my little junior here. Or little Missy. You know what I'll do? I'll wait till you leave the room and then I'll tell Missy and Junior what they need to hear. Amen. Or if they're in this room, they'll hear it anyway. Yeah, what did you say, Steve? That's your it. You see the conscience, like the similarity in the words. It's talking about your thought life. And there's a difference between thinking about bad deeds and things and covetousness, where you desire something that doesn't belong to you. And of course, all these are a part of idolatry, because why do you fornicate? Well, because you become your own God and you want to suit your own needs, you know, in your flesh instead of pleasing God. Every one of these is you putting God off and putting you on the throne. Every one of them.
Amen.
That's why it says, which is idolatry. You just made yourself your own little God. That's why when you have these so-called gay Christians, like the fellow who died recently on channel, 6 or 10 or whatever, Chris Bradley, his religion was Bradleyism. You know, he decided what God said isn't true. I'll live with my male partner. We'll adopt children into this sodomite wickedness. And then all these stupid Christians in Central Ohio were like, well, he was such a good man. He was evil. He was wicked. And brought children into that wickedness. And the stupid Christians in this county acting like there's nothing wrong with that. Sickening. Just disgusting. It's idolatry. You make yourself your own little God. What you think is what matters. What you think. Question, you're going to follow Christ? Then you're going to have to be countercultural. I mean, my children joke about the crazy old man, and sometimes they're not joking. But I'm here to tell you, if you want to live for the Lord in 2018, going into 2019 and forward, you better be the crazy guy.
Amen.
Amen. Otherwise, you're not right with God.
Amen.
Your friends and family don't think you're a little crazy, you're not doing it right.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Got to be countercultural. This is one of the stupidest things you always hear. I've heard it since I was a kid. And you talk about the truth. I had a Christian from Pensacola Christian Seminary. Pensacola Christian Seminary. Now, I want to go on record. I don't believe this represents the seminary. But one of their students lectured me about referring to the LGBTQ as sodomites. I said, God called them sodomites. What you are is a slave. And he comes back, John, with the McCarthy doctrine and says, well, I'm a slave to Christ. All right, let me try to untangle this web. Number one, you're not a slave. Jesus says, if he has set you free, you are free indeed.
Amen.
There are no slaves in the Christian church.
Amen.
You're a servant.
Amen.
A servant is different than a slave. If you don't believe me, let's transport you back to previous to 1862 and let's let you talk to some real slaves.
Yep.
Big difference.
Amen.
Number two, you are a slave to the LGBTQ. You are submitting to their demand that you no longer call them what God calls them.
Right.
You are now their slave. You will submit. You will talk the way I tell you to talk. You will think the way I tell you to think. You will do what I tell you to do. That's what most Christians are to the LGBTQ today. So bad that what do you think the Q stands for?
Queer.
Queer. And if you call them a queer, Christians will tell you that you shouldn't say that. Why? Because they are slaves. You only say it if they want you to say it. See, that's how, if you're a slave, you say, yes, massa. If you're a slave, yes, massa. You don't want me to say queer, even though you call yourself that? Yes, massa. And that's what most Christians are today. Why? Because they have not mortified the flesh, and they know that if they take a stand like that, it'll cost them in the flesh. It'll cost them friends. It might cost them jobs. They might have to downsize. Oh, God wouldn't want that.
Counter church, too.
What's that?
Counter church.
Counter church, yeah, the Laodicean church.
Yep.
You got to stand against the majority of Christians today. Read verse 6 with me. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. I don't like that God of the Old Testament. He's mean. My Jesus would never do that. My Jesus would never pour out his wrath on people. My Jesus would never send anyone to hell. Your Jesus is a fake. A counterfeit. My Jesus, it says, pours out his wrath on the children of disobedience. And by the way, that's not what he's doing with them now. You think what he does with them now is bad, they ain't seen nothing yet.
Amen.
This is the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. And you can find that beginning in Revelation 5. Go through the rest of Revelation on into the lake of fire.
Yep.
And that's what God does with the children of disobedience. Warn today's godless American of this, and they will mock you.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
Every time this year. I cannot think of an exception when I was talking to an unsaved man or woman, online or in person. And I said, well, you know, the Bible clearly teaches that you're a sinner, and you must be born again, you must be saved, you must believe how that Christ died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for your sins, was buried and rose again, conquering sin and death. You must, or you go to hell, and then you'll be judged at the great white throne and cast into a lake of fire. Oh, I don't believe that. Oh, all that religion of threats and intimidation and all that, I don't believe that. That's what... You think they're intimidated by the words that I spoke? Wait till they stand at that great white throne. They're going to take a knee. They're going to confess Jesus is the Lord. The Lord. Not a Lord. The Lord. But it's too late. It's too late. That's why you got to witness to them now. Even if they get mad at you. Even if they take that thing and throw it right back at you. Try. Because you don't get another chance to try, and they don't get another chance to repent.
Yeah.
You know, one thing you'll never do again after the rapture or after you die, one thing you'll never do again is be able to preach the gospel to a lost soul.
Yeah.
Got to do it now. It's now or never.
Amen.
And there's one thing that the lost soul will not be able to do in hell, and that's repent.
Yeah.
It's too late. There'll be no repentance at the great white throne, and there'll be no repentance in the lake of fire. And sadly, the typical Laodicean Christian will also mock you.
Yeah.
It's a growing number of Laodiceans who are trying to tell you there's no such thing as an eternal hell with flames. No such thing as an eternal or everlasting lake of fire with flames. They all go to the Greek and twist and pervert the scriptures and all this stuff instead of taking the plain sense as it's written and believing it. They'll mock you because they're not Bible believers. Now again, the Bible tells you to judge people, not condemn them. The Bible says judge righteous judgment.
Amen.
I believe it's John 7:24.
Yep.
What's that mean? That means when someone says they're a Christian, but they start telling you they don't believe in this, and they don't believe in that, and they don't believe Jesus would send someone to hell, and they don't believe in a hell with fire, you're looking at a fake. They're not Bible believers.
Revelation, what is it, 19 or something? 19 and 20?
Yeah. Well, 19, and then right through the end of 22, there's references to the lake of fire. Everyone whose name was not written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast in the lake of fire. Look at verse 7. Read that with me. In the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. This is kind of a reminder not to forget where you came from. That's why we don't walk around. You know, I talk to people who are, you know, just lost as can be. And some are effeminate and queer acting, so I know I'm probably talking to homosexual. Other times I'm talking to people who are just, you can just tell, you know, their language we're going to look at in just a second. There's a reference to the language and everything. And so you're talking to somebody like it, but I don't look at them and say, you need to stop doing that or you're going to go to hell. You need to stop doing that. You need to stop saying that. You need to stop. No, that's not the message we're to preach. The message we're to preach is how that Christ died for our sins. See? Because we were once one of them. We're not going to stand there as some, like we're the standard. Well, you need to be more like me, or you're going to go to hell. That's how it's presented by a lot of people. The regenerate, you, the saved person, should be visibly different than the godless. That's not what saves you. You're saved, Stephen said this morning, you're saved, you're saved. But that should be a thing of the past. It says, when ye lived, past tense, in them. So what do? You see a Christian who's living like the devil, you should confront them. You can be loving about it and all, but you should tell them, listen, there is no evidence that you're a Christian. I see no evidence that you're a Christian. And you don't preach the gospel to anybody. You don't live an example. There's nothing. Even if they go to church, it doesn't matter. Church doesn't mean anything. What, they've been baptized. Who cares? It's the old saying, Doug, you've said this before, that if you were taken to court, there ought to be enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian.
Amen.
Now, you don't necessarily go to them and say, I don't believe you're saved. You need to be saved. That's something that they and God have to work out. But you should confirm about the fact that they sure aren't given much evidence. And it's noticeable. And if you know it, obviously God notices.
Amen.
And that's what, this morning, you all go out and you live your life. I have no idea and I don't want to know.
Amen.
I'm not the Holy Ghost. I'm not omniscient. I have trouble maintaining the amount of information I have if they're to begin with. I don't need to know everything going on in your life.
Amen.
But if you walk out that door and you don't live it, you're a disgrace.
Amen.
And God's going to deal with you.
Amen.
You may think you're getting by with it, but God will deal with you. And he says this in verse 8. But now ye also put off all these. And he begins with anger. We must be careful to recognize there are types of anger to be put off. Not all anger is wrong. That's what people, there's this nutcase out there named Steven Anderson, and there's a bunch of others out there preaching that if you're homosexual, you can't be saved. That's a lie. What's that?
And be executed.
Yeah, and you also should be executed.
By a righteous government.
Yeah, which is hogwash. We're not calling for any of that. When Jesus is king, he'll take care of that. But right now, Jesus isn't king. Like I said, I respect our president in as much as he supports the Constitution, and our Constitution doesn't allow that.
Amen.
But what he's misrepresenting the gospel, because when I go out and talk to somebody, it may be I'm talking to somebody, a drag queen or whatever, and they're totally reprobate. That may be, but I don't know that.
Yeah.
So I preach the gospel to them.
Right.
And there are some who get saved. So that means some have not gone too far. There may be some who do. Not maybe, we know some do. Some go so far, they will not be saved. They've just totally gone reprobate. But I don't know which ones, and you don't know which ones. So we still preach the gospel to them. But now, it says, ye also put off all these, beginning with anger. And there are types of anger. First of all, turn over to Mark 3:5. Matthew, Mark, chapter 3. Studied this many moons ago, verse by verse. It's online if you've missed it. The entire Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 3, verse 5. And this is Jesus we're talking about here in verse 5. Says, read that with me. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. So there's Jesus who is angry. So obviously there's anger that isn't a sin, because Jesus didn't sin.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
I say that because there's careless preachers, I've heard them over the years, just get up there and say, a Christian shouldn't be angry, blah, blah, blah. Whoa, wait a minute. When I see a little boy on Good Morning America dressed up as a trans and they're applauding him to his own destruction, that makes me angry.
Amen.
And if it don't you, there's something wrong.
Amen.
Look over Matthew 5:22 now. Keep in mind what we just read. Here's the key. You want to know, well, how do I know? How do I know when my anger is right and wrong? Well, thank God for the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
I probably couldn't have been able to tell you, but the Bible does. Matthew 5:22. Give everybody time to get there. Now read verse 22 with me. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Now stop there. And we don't have time to get in the whole verse, but I want you to see that. See, Jesus just told you when your anger is right and wrong right there. Whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause. You can underline, highlight, and circle the words without a cause.
Amen.
If there's a cause for your anger, and it's biblical, then there's nothing wrong with your anger. And of course, we have to add this. It's also talking about your response. If you, how many of you saw the snowflake who was at the store, and the guy comes in with a Trump shirt on, and he screams and yells and refuses to wait on the guy and all that. And then he was fired.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I'm not even going to debate whether or not he was right or wrong, but if he was angry, fine. But his response is what got him fired.
Yeah.
With a Christian, we want to check our reason for being angry, and no matter whether we're right or wrong in anger, we should watch our response. Because
yeah.
We have no... The only time we should be violent is in self-defense and defending our loved ones. We should never get violent just because someone makes us angry. Throwing a fit and throwing things around like that guy did in that video I was talking about. Now look at this. Satan doesn't want you to know this. Satan wants you to be confused on anger. That's why the satanic new versions corrupt this text. You just read, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Your new versions, I'll show you the ESV, the NIV, the CSB, all the rest, delete the words without a cause.
Wow.
Gone. So they just, What'd they do? Your new versions make Jesus a sinner. Your NIV, your ESV, your CSB, whatever, they make Jesus a sinner. He's not able to die for your sins. He's a sinner. Your King James Version explains his anger was with a cause. So it wasn't a sin for him to be angry. According to the NIV and the ESV, he's angry with his brother. Jesus would be liable to the judgment, according to the new versions. Wow. Just one of thousands of changes like that in your new corrupt Bibles. We must not be angry without a cause. That's the point. Amen?
Amen.
It says wrath. Have Psalm 37:8. Cease from anger, and we know Scripture with Scripture is talking about anger without a cause, and forsake wrath. That's your response. If you're angry, that's one thing. You still should not fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. See? You shouldn't be so fretting about it that you do evil. The anger can be justified. The wrath cannot. Look over at James 1, 19 and 20. We're getting ready to wrap this up. James 1. Here's why your anger should be controlled. Never lose control of your feelings and all that. James 1, 19, 20. Read it with me. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. See that?
Amen.
What do you do? If you see what I, you know, just mentioned some of the things that can make you angry, what do? You take a stand and you pray, but you don't act out with violence and wrath. It also says, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath. What's that word?
Malice.
Malice. A word best known by most from Abe Lincoln. And what better example? Think about this. Extremist abolitionists responded to Confederate surrender with anger and wrath, calling on Lincoln to respond with malice. Our country wouldn't be what it is today if it weren't for the response of Abraham Lincoln after the war was over. They were extremist abolitionists. And I don't want to get into the whole thing of the history of the Civil War, but they were extremist abolitionists who basically wanted, like Robert E. Lee and Jefferson Davis, they wanted them hung publicly. They wanted to have Nuremberg-type trials and all this. And Lincoln refused. And in his second inaugural address, he was reelected before he was assassinated. And during his second inaugural address, Lincoln said, quote, with malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right as God gives us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who shall have borne the battle, and for his widow and his orphan, to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations.
Amen.
End quote. Now, let me tell you something. If Abe Lincoln wanted to, he could have rounded them up and just started shooting them. He could have. And those of you know, I have a problem with some of the stuff that went on with that. You know, what I personally think there's a good chance the United States of America could have ended slavery the way England did, and they didn't have to have 1 million people killed. But history is what it is. And thank God that Lincoln responded the way he did.
Amen.
And then the men who came after him followed his example, including Ulysses S. Grant.
Amen. Praise
There's stories about him that you hear Grant was a drunk and crooked and all this. He had crooks in his administration, but Grant was a good man. And he did have a drinking problem, but he didn't. That didn't have anything to do with how he was president. I hope he got saved. I'd love to meet Ulysses S. Grant in heaven.
Grant was the one that made Christmas a holiday for the whole nation.
Yeah.
He thought he would help lobby. Buy the country together.
What?
He also started lobbying.
Yeah. Which lobbying isn't crooked. It's become crooked.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind as well. But anyway, we're going to move on. Real quick, this is a great definition from Webster's. I quote Webster's when they match the Bible. A disposition to injure others without cause. Isn't that...
Wow.
You talk about a coincidence, ain't you?
Absolutely.
From mere personal gratification or from a spirit of revenge. And that's what Abe Lincoln avoided after the Civil War. That's what we should avoid in our personal life.
Amen.
Ain't nothing wrong with being angry when you see bad things. You see unrighteousness. You see wickedness. You see the anger in me. But no one can legitimately ever accuse me of wrath and violence.
Amen.
I just take a stand, speak the truth, and pray. And if I ever go beyond that, then I should be in trouble.
Yep.
Finally, it says in verse 8, go back to our text here as we close. Verse 8, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth.
Amen.
That's what we call profanity. And that's why I tell Christians you should stick to the book. If you don't like a word and it's not profane, it's not profanity, then that's a personal conviction. And you've got to be very careful with this. I've told the story where just reading the Bible where it says the word pisseth. And I had a woman confront me after the service and rebuke me. For what? I was just reading the text. But I guess I should have made that censoring noise. Beep. Instead of saying the word. Listen, when you are more holy than this book, your holiness is misconstrued. Now, you can use Bible words and use them wrongly, but that's not profanity. Do you realize that urine is already profane?
Amen.
Poop is already excrement. Whatever you want to call it is profane.
Amen.
So, using those words in the wrong context can be considered rude and crude, but don't be adding to the Bible and pretending that's profanity, because it's not. And that, I'm just telling you that because Christians lose some of the respect and legitimacy with people when they say things that just aren't true. And people who have a brain and know these things are like, that guy's goofy. And there are words that you don't like, words I don't like. And if you don't like it, you can tell that person, but don't pretend it's God. Let them know it's your personal preference that you don't like. We're talking about here. We got Christians running around using the F word. The F-U, not the F-A-R-T word. That's profanity. Why? Because sex is sacred. See? So that's why Christians should not be using that language. It's not just using God's name or the word, the name God Himself or the name of Jesus in vain. But when you use something that's sacred in vain. Filthy communication. That's what the F word would fall under, that one right there. Filthy communication. And you know, the filthy jokes. What you're doing, most of the time they're sexual. So what are you doing? You're profaning something sacred. That's why it's wrong. As I said, it's personal. The point of this study is to look at yourself and not look around at the needs of others. The whole point of this has been you looking at you, me looking at me. I'm teaching what the Word of God says, but like I said, I don't want to examine your head and your life. And you shouldn't be thinking about others. I just ask you this. Don't want answers out loud, but as you've listened to this study, have you been thinking of me? Me, 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 as in you, you, you? Or you've been thinking that, well, yeah, so-and-so over there, I hope they're listening. I hope she heard that.